everyone out there and around the world. Daniel's gonna miss the. He's talking to Mrs. Bevan. Gonna miss the history. The history lesson hopefully ties in with the message that I'd like to share today. Last night I drove in from Central Camp, and I got home at like 12:30 or something, and felt like my eyes were bleeding. I was so tired. And I was getting our bags out of the, because we had a cooler, and I was getting all that stuff out of the car. And I heard a skateboard, of all things, this hour of the night, down Tilden Avenue, which is a very quiet neighborhood. And, okay, somebody's skating. Continued to unload my stuff, and somebody said, "Gabe, is that you?" I turned around. It was Mike Hoskins. It was Mike Hoskins. A friend of mine, I guess I shouldn't be telling his business, but Mike Hoskins was a young man who went to our youth group when Dad, who had infinitely more patience than I do. The last thing I'm going to be delivered from is my irritability. I'm doing better when it comes to the car, but there are still other things like camping that just ratchet me up another one. But Dad used to have a youth group that he would take. He would take the big old blue bus and pick kids up, take them all down to like Pizza Hut after we had our Bible lesson and all of that. Kids are like smoking weed and running amok. Nobody cared for these kids except for Dad. It felt like to me. I mean, they were just like wild and out there. And he would spend time with them and love them and give of himself to them. And Mike Hoskins never forgot that. And even though he had a lot of trouble in his life, he always had a soft spot for Dad and a soft spot for this place. Unfortunately, he had trouble listening to the Holy Spirit, as I did. And he got himself in a tough spot, and now he's unhoused. And I think he rides by Tilden just because that's where Dad used to be. Anyhow, I'm telling you that story for a couple of reasons. One, because, I love Dad so much, and, he used to feel down on himself, and then they just throw your stuff out and they sell it, right? But he made a real impact on people, on all of us, but on far-reaching, that this homeless young man, I don't even know if he's young anymore, still rides by my dad's house for the memory of him. That encourages me. But it also made me pause to stop because he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "Oh, good, good, good." And before I could stop myself, I was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" Right? How am I doing? And it made me feel like I got nothing for him. If I could pray for him and free his mind, I would. And I kind of felt so crestfallen in a way, and a little bit guilty as I went inside, and my kids are all warm and I are all warm. I pray for Mike, and he said he might come. So if we see him, everybody pretend like I haven't been talking about him. But I had seen him before, and I would give him money when I have it. I don't always carry cash. But there is the only help that he can get is the own help. Not like pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of help. The only spiritual salve that he can get is from his own journey. And so I prayed for him, and I remembered my father, but it just reinforces this idea in my mind that we're on this journey and that I can't give it to anybody else and nobody can give it to me. It has to be gained from our own. The only freedom from my irritability will be the freedom I take through my actions and my thoughts and my prayers. I can't sit down and have somebody just hit me with it, and all of a sudden I'm just like peaceful and can... I got to get it. I got to take it through my actions, through my prayers and my conscious, aware work and effort, if that made sense. Anyhow, back to the history lesson. I've been reading through the Gospels in my free time, and most of us kind of have a pretty definite idea of Christ's life, right? Every Christmas, we celebrate on December 25th. I talked about that. I'm sure I'll talk about it again. But Jesus is born of a virgin. The wise men come. The angels appear to the shepherds, right? We all know the story. If you look in the book of Mark, which is the first gospel written, no manger, no Herod, no, none of that. Jesus starts as a full-grown man. And if you look at Mark, also spends the most time on Jesus' passion. Anyhow, I noticed all of these interesting little changes, but it reminded me of the fact that the people who were writing the Gospels had a clear vision in their minds. They were telling the life of Jesus and things that happened, but they were also saying it in a way to portray him in the way they wanted to portray him. That makes sense. So John is different than Mark because a different person wrote John. And so they want to portray Jesus' actions and words in a different way than Mark may have wanted to, right? So Mark doesn't, he's not concerned with the birth, because for him, he's more focused on the death. That's what he wants to talk about. So I'm just going to skip all that. I'm going to spend a lot of time on the death. While Matthew may spend a lot more time on the birth, but not as much time on, you know, the death or whatever it may be. Because all of our actions and all of our thoughts come from the brain that God created, but that has still not realized its full potential. That's why Jesus needs to speak in these parables. I talked last week about awareness and how the Holy Spirit shines a light on things that we need to work on, in my opinion. And that's because we are so bogged down with our own preconceived notions and inherited beliefs. When I was in college, I took a philosophy course, and we talked about the philosophes, which are the French philosophers of the 1700s. And there's a guy named Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And he talks about the social contract of man, right? So, back before there was civilized society, whoever was strongest took from the people that are not the strongest. So, if there's some guy who lives next door to me, and he's got a Porsche, but he's not very strong, and I've been on my bulk phase for months, then I beat him up and I take his stuff. Right? That's how life was in the prehistoric realm, right? When you enter into the social contract, you are agreeing to abide by the rules. If you don't abide by those rules, then you are punished to keep society going. So we can't have people just beating everybody up and taking their Porsches. Otherwise, Brennan would have all my money. I have to be protected from people who are stronger. So that's the social contract. We have this idea that crimes need to be punished. The idea that somebody can just steal from you and you let it go is incomprehensible to us. All crimes must be punished. That's why the bad guys get caught. Duh. That's why Batman doesn't just let Joker go away spraying poison on everybody. You got to beat him up and take him to the Arkham Asylum, right? So this idea that crimes must be punished infiltrates society. And so all crimes must be paid for and sins as well. So if I'm a man living in the ancient days, and today if I kill Daniel, which I would never do Daniel, the police would show up and they'd dust for prints and they'd take it down to the crime lab and they'd try and figure it out. But back in the day, they didn't have any of those things. So the idea that I could get away with murder was a lot more likely. But who would get me? The police may not get me. There were no such things as the police. The constables may not get me. But God would get me. So the idea that you could sin and get away with it was a non-starter for people back in the day. But how does one, since we are all flawed, how does one get rid of those sins that we've committed? Well, in the ancient times, a sacrifice was needed. That shows you mean it, that you're not just talking out of your rear end, right? I was talking to a young man one time in class, and I can't remember what we were talking about, like sins or whatever. And he's like, well, I could just do whatever I want, and then when I'm about to die, I'll just say, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord. And I'll be forgiven, and I go to heaven. And the kids turned on him. You can't do that. That's not you can't do. You know, and they're like trying to point out all the flaws. What if you die in a car crash? You know? The idea to these young children that this kid could just live his life without any respect and then just ask for forgiveness in the end, they couldn't even let it stand for a second. They had to rise up and shout this kid down. So ancient peoples had this idea that you had to pay. A sacrifice must be made. Livestock is valuable. But how much value? So let's say that, you know, Daniel and I are going, I owe Daniel some money, and I say, all right, well, let's trade cars. I'll get your new BMW, and you can have my Subaru. That a fair trade, Dan? Thanks, buddy. He's very generous. But no, of course not. His BMW is much more valuable. So what has value to the ancient world? So pigs, they don't produce milk, right? They don't have wool. They don't have anything. They have meat, if you like bacon. So pigs were of the lowest sacrifice. And then you had, you know, doves and blah, 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 blah. But the sheep of the Middle Eastern period, they were top notch because a sheep doesn't require as much provisions as a cow does. And if you live in a desert Mediterranean area, that's a big deal. A sheep can subsist off of less than a cow can. It produces milk. You could kill it and eat it. It has mutton. And you can shave its wool and make clothes. But what if you got a sheep that's all janky and different colors of wool? That's not as good. You want the white wool. That's the perfect, right? So if you take a white lamb and sacrifice that, that really shows that you are very sorry for your crimes. That makes sense? Hopefully this will make sense in a second. So in the Passover, the Jews had sinned against God, they'd broken the covenant, and so they are punished accordingly and enslaved by the Egyptians. Right? You're not going to get out of jail without payment. So the Ten Commandments, and the angel of death comes to rot his destruction. How do the Jews get out of it? They sacrifice a lamb and they put the blood on the mantle. Right? And the angel of death passes over. And they're free. And to celebrate this, the Jews of antiquity and today, many of them, celebrate Passover. And during Christ's crucifixion, it happens during Passover. So during the Passover feast, you would take your lamb to the temple to be sacrificed. That pays for your sins. And then whatever the meat, some of the meat would be taken by the temple as payment, but you would get to keep the rest of it, and you got to pay the lamb, then you would eat it, right? So here comes the new Christian doctrine. If lambs used to be sacrificed for our sins, then how come we don't do that anymore? Well, that's because Jesus was the perfect, purest lamb. And his death cancels all that out. The idea at the time that there could be any other motivation behind his death other than what they had always done, crime, payment, forgiveness, was inconceivable to them. Did that make sense? So that's why there's this whole idea of the blood of the Lamb. But I would argue that God does not need the sacrifice of animals or anything to forgive us. His love transcends all of those things, but we don't understand Him yet. We come with all of our notions of how things work. That's why whenever you see sci-fi movies, in the future, it looks just like our world, just a little more techy, right? The Star Wars movies didn't have the internet because they had no idea of the internet. So the Star Wars universe looks like 1970s Los Angeles, but with aliens and spaceships. Does that make sense? Because they couldn't even imagine what it was like. So imagine a being that existed before time and space, who loves you so much that no matter what you do, they will never, ever give up on you. We can't do it. We can't do it because we don't. So we think like, no, he can't. He forgives you only if, and then we add our own narrative in. Did that make sense? Imagine you were talking to a blind person and you tried to explain what the color green is. How would you even start? They have no reference point. Would you say, oh, well, it's kind of like a cool color, right? They don't have any point of reference. If they've never seen any colors, the idea of different colors, their mind can't make that jump. So for humans who are still on our path, the idea that there is an entity whose infinite love and compassion, it's unknown to us. So we have to put our own stuff on it. That's why there's all of these examples. And Jesus does his best to point them out. God in his love says you got to work because you got to make food, right? So you till the soil and you raise whatever, but you get one day, the Sabbath, and you keep that holy, and you rest and you think of me, right? That's a good and just thing. But humans contort that into no work. Well, what if I want to make a sandwich? Well, that's working. You can't do that. Do you see how the devil corrupts the thing that was good? God sends his only son to love us and teach us and die for us and protect us and rescue those who are already dead. And it somehow comes out that God just couldn't stand looking at us until we were all bathed in the blood. The narrative is imposed upon the good thing because we can't understand the good thing. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4. This is right after Jesus and his disciples are walking along talking about stuff. And it's the Sabbath. But they're hungry. Now, today, my son would just order Postmates or whatever. But they're hungry and they're out in the middle of nowhere. But there's some wheat growing because it's an agrarian society. And so they're picking off the heads of the wheat. And if you know wheat, there's like a long stem that turns into hay, and then the head of the wheat is filled with grains. And so, but all the other grassy stuff around the grains, that's not edible. So they pick them off the heads, and then they rub it in their hand like this. And then that separates all the dry, leafy stuff that they don't want, and then they eat the grains. And so they're doing that. And the Pharisees, who are the ones who impose the moral law, say, it's the Sabbath, you're making food, that's work, you have sinned, therefore you are wrong. And Jesus starts to talk to them, right? Now, because of who he is talking to, he can't just lay it out matter-of-factly, because it'll get twisted, just like the Sabbath, just like any other thing. So he speaks in parables. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? It is not brought to be put on the lampstand, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. That idea of a lamp on a stand. Knowledge, right? Awareness. Intelligence. There was darkness. And what's the first thing that God said? Let there be light. It's life. So if you have knowledge, you're not going to put it on. I can't think about it. You put it foremost. And to him who has, more will be given. And to him who does not, even what little he has shall be taken away. That's knowledge through the Holy Spirit, in my personal opinion. The more that we put it first, the more we focus on it, the more we make it center in our lives, the more we get. This idea that praying and seeking God is a chore, I'd rather be playing video games, I'd rather be watching YouTube, I'd rather be doing XYZ, is the lie. The more that I put in, the more that I get. It is the antithesis of everything's already done. I don't have to do anything. I believe. I have the faith, he did the thing, that's the end. What little he has shall be taken away. It's like I'm a blind man who's never seen the color green. And Jesus is trying to tell me what it's like. But I have no idea, because I'm covered in darkness. I can't see anything. When I was up camping with my family, I don't like the outdoors. I never have. I try so hard. My brother loves it. He's a crazy maniac. But going up to camp with my family is like an important thing. My kids love it. And it's something I don't really like. But I'm like, I like the idea of it, but it's like kind of hot and there's mosquitoes and it's really dirty. But so each time I tell myself, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be patient and I'm going to be calm and I'm going to try and listen to the Holy Spirit and just enjoy it and be at peace. And then I go up there and I see everybody, hey, it's so good to see you. And as we go along, all of the minor annoyances that I wasn't thinking cause me to stop thinking about the light of my good intentions. Instead of thinking, I want to connect with my family and create good memories with my children and be blessed and have this wonderful experience, all of a sudden I think, like, dang, mosquitoes, God, it's hot. Man, these kids won't ever let us. I'm trying to talk to my sister for a second. And now the light that I had on the stand that was going to guide me to this wonderful future, I stop looking at it and I start looking at all of the things that are bothering me. And wouldn't you know it, things start being terrible. Did that make sense? It's It can be the light of the Holy Spirit can not only lead us into the truth of the universe, it can also help us enjoy something we didn't enjoy before. The more we follow it, the more we get. In all things, great and small, the more I follow it, the more insight I get about to the nature of Scripture, the nature of God, the nature of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. But also, the easier I can drive in traffic without being upset, the easier I can get to my workout and build this body that God has created, the easier that I can listen to my children long-sufferingly. To he who has, more will be given. But when I put it under the basket, I put it under the bed, I'm not paying attention because I'm thinking about the mosquitoes, I'm thinking about the dirt, I'm thinking about all the people who irritate me. And what little I had was taken away from me. Does that make sense? That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. It's not a single transactional thing. If it was, then what's even the point? When Mike skates down, have you heard the good news, Mike? Is that it? To him who has, more will be given. Insight, understanding, love. As long as we follow it. But it's so easy to forget. It's so easy. And you don't even know you've forgotten. I didn't even realize how irritated I was until I snapped. And I didn't like scream and yell. But I like said some like sarcastic comment. And because I have a little more awareness and freedom now than I did a couple years ago, the Holy Spirit was like, hey man, what are you doing? It revealed to me that I had become irritated. So I try and bring my focus back, try and listen to the Holy Spirit. But then it fades away. That makes sense. The light of the Holy Spirit has to come first. Jesus came to this earth to give me that light. Not so I can Hannibal Lecter take a bath in the blood, so that God can forgive me of the sins that I have. Right? Jesus came. It's better for you that I go. Why? Because God doesn't love you very much because of all your sin. But soon as he kills me, then he won't be mad at you anymore. If you acknowledge that, you know, that I died for you. Oh, sweet. Oh, cool. Great. It's better for you that I go. Why? Because I'm going to send you a helper. He's going to help you go to camp and not get frustrated with your sister's dogs. He's going to help you drive your kids to school without getting frustrated. He's going to help you understand the nature of the universe and all things created therein. Little things and big things. To him that has, more will be added. And I want more. I want more. I want more than I had yesterday. I want more than I have now. I want more and more and more and more. Not because that will make me holier than the rest of these idiots who are wrong. Because I will have more peace and more light and more happiness. More wisdom and integrity. Maybe I'll have something that can help Mike. Instead of, what are you going to do, brother? I'm sorry, that sucks. I don't have it yet. I still don't know what green is. I hear it's a cool calming color. I have to find out. I have to find out by putting the light first on the table in my room so that it can illuminate all aspects of my life. I came into church today. I was frustrated. I didn't even know I was frustrated. I knew I was tired. But all of a sudden, I'm not thinking. I'm not aware. And so therefore, I cannot follow the Holy Spirit. The more I follow, the more I'm aware. The more I'm aware, the more I follow. To him who has, much will be given. All answers, all solutions, that's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I got great news for you. What is it? Well, you were going to die and go to hell, but now you're not. Is that it? Muslims think we're all going to go to hell. Is that it? We all just point at our book and say, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right, no, I'm right. Was that the master plan? God sent his son so that I can have a book to tell people they're wrong. Sorry, that sounds negative. The creator of the universe can interface with us. I don't care about if they're right or wrong. I care about if I'm right or wrong. Because they can't tell me what green is. They can't give me the light. Only one thing can give me the light, the Holy Spirit. And there's only one way to get there. By listening. By quieting myself. By following the Holy Spirit. By being aware of what he's trying to tell me. But it's hard. That's why there's... If it were easy as just saying a few words, then it'd already be done. It's good and it's right. Jesus says, beware the man who says, know the Lord. You gotta find him. You gotta find him. I gotta find him. Emilio is so much more long-suffering than I am. I had a confession to make. Sometimes Emilio is so long-suffering, I get irritated at it. Because something was bothering me, and I was telling him, and he was like, oh, what are you going to do? I was like, how is it not bothering you? But he doesn't know what green is yet. He's still looking. He doesn't have to worry and be aware of his irritability in the same way that I do, but he's got his thing. And inasmuch as he's able to put it first and foremost, the light of the Holy Spirit and its wisdom and counsel, be aware of it and follow it, the more that he's able to do that, the more he will get. And the more he'll figure out, and the more he'll understand, and the more peace he'll get, the more awareness he'll get, which means he'll be... That's it. Into all things. What things? I don't know yet. That's the point. If we had already figured out the truth of the universe, then we'd all know it. We got to keep following. But that's hard. That's why it's easier to just say like, oh, all the work's already done. You just have to say what I say. But I promise you it's worth it. I have so little. But what little I have, I wouldn't give up for anything. If you said, I'll give you $1 billion, but you got to go back in time 10 years to the person that you were. Nope. Not going to do it. It's only the light of the Holy Spirit. He reveals it. God pours out the rain on the wicked and the holy alike. We all follow his voice, and he leads us into truth. Dad did it as best he could. If he had lived for 100 more years, maybe he'd finally know what green is. If I live for 100 more years, maybe I'll know what green is. Maybe I'll find out tomorrow. Or maybe I'll never find out, but each day I grow a little bit more. And I get more peace. And I get a little less irritability. I get a little more happiness. I get a little more wisdom. I get a little more insight. The voice gets a little bit louder. The candle gets a little bit brighter. And it makes me aware of other things I didn't know. Points out my fears. It points out my hypocrisies. It points out my inconsistencies. It points out everything that would keep me from knowing the Lord. What good is it a man gains the world but loses his soul? It's good. It is good. It is good It's right. Because of its creator, it's good and right. Not because I'm right. You'll know if anything you're hearing up here, out there, is right, because the same thing that leads me leads you. When somebody I know says something that's from the Lord, I know it. I can feel it. Thank you for giving me this time. Be blessed this week. Work at it. Work at it. Work at it. It's good. We can't see it in ourselves, and I can't show it. We can only find it if we look. I'm closing with this, I promise. I knew somebody who had a job, who made money that, like, I was slightly envious of. You know, people say money is the root of all evil. I don't believe that. Right? Money can create so many good things, and it can divert people from following the Holy Spirit. But money makes life a little easier sometimes. This person had a job. And from the outside looking in, I was looking at their life and thought, like, hey, man, that's very good. The place you live is cool. The car you drive is cool. The money you make is cool. Everything seems to be cool. And they were miserable. And every time I talked to them, all they did was talk about how miserable they were and how much they hated their job. And I thought to myself, what? I deal with loud, annoying kids all day, and they pay me a fraction of what you get paid. You live like a king and you work in your living room. How could you possibly hate it? They can't see it. And no job is ever, they're not going to like go on monster.com and find the job that's like, yes, freedom, happiness. Whatever new job they get, they'll be in the same place because they brought their own baggage. And no amount of money I ever make will ever make me happy if I'm not happy now. But I can't see. I need the light. That person can't see that they should be perfectly satisfied as they are. Instead, the liar just tells them all the bad things about the job they hate, and they sit in misery. And I say, man, why aren't they more happy? And then I go back to my house and think, like, man, look at all these things that suck and are wrong in my life. While that person may think, like, look at all of these things that he's got. He's got this, that, the other. Do you see what I'm saying? I can see him and he can see me, but neither one of us are happy because we're not doing the work to its completion yet. But the more that I go, the more that I learn, and the happier I am. The Holy Spirit points out the good things in my life. Don't worry about the mosquitoes, Gabe. Look at the time you're getting to spend with your nieces. Look at the time you get to spend with your kids. I'd be robbed of that. It's dirty. I've got to drive up this road. And I'd be robbed of all of it. My life would just pass me by as I sit and complain about all of the things. Don't let it. Don't let it. It's good and it's right. And it's here. Right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we spend all of our time looking around at all of the things that are wrong. Put it first. Put it first. Not for me, not for them, not for him. For you. The connection will get stronger and he'll lead you into it. Into all of it. Into all of it. Thank you. Thank you for this time. Be blessed this week. You're deserving of it. You have it. You just need that light to show it to you. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, because the Spirit of the Lord does not give up. It never fails. Ever. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your wisdom. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, Lord. Help me to see the things that I got to work on. The things that I know to work on, I can work on, but the things I don't know to work on, they just pass me by. Reveal it to me, Lord. Help me put your light first. And help me follow it. Give me the courage and wisdom. Bless us, Lord, in our bodies, in our minds, in our jobs, in our relationships. And lead us into all of the truth. Bind the devil. Dismantle his plans. Keep him from us and from our loved ones. Give us a blessed week. Help us to see your hand in the good things in our lives. Help us to rejoice in it, and bring us back next week full of our love and joy for you and for each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.